podcast time from XFM. A week of shows and the best of them. Lots of chat and not much tunes for boring legal reasons.
Hello there, welcome to podcast number 15 from the XFM Breakfast Show. On this podcast, Quizface goes cow-based. Much talk of frozen nipples. The only name worse than Hitler. I talk to REM. Comedian Greg Davies swings by. And David Cameron strangles wolves. Let's get started.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.
There was one man very recently. Imagine the horror on this man's face as he looks up, right? One evening, and he sees like a giant light, okay? Giant light. Just put yourself in his position for a second. Giant light. Whoa. Coming at you from the sky, okay? Yeah. It's hovering there. Ooh. It's not making any noise, but it's hovering. It's coming at you.
I don't know, yeah.
You call the police.
Oh, right.
You call the police and you say, look, there's the light and it's coming at me. You know, I just want to report this, want to log this.
Or the non-emergency number I'd call.
Well, you would think so, but as far as this guy's concerned, you know, it's an emergency.
Oh, right.
So here's the part where he phones the police to tell them about this UFO.
Caller, you're through to police. What's your emergency, please?
There's something flying over our house. It's coming towards me now. The enormous lights blazing. I don't know what the hell it is.
Right, okay. So, what? It's got lights blazing, did you say?
The bright lights floating in the sky. They're coming towards me. I'm in Canterbury Way, Stevenage. I don't know what the hell it is. Not an aeroplane.
Can you hear any sort of engine noise from it or anything like that?
No, it's too far away at the moment. But I thought it was, you know, the flight coming. I thought it was an airplane for us. I don't know what the hell it is.
Okay, all right, well, I've logged it down, so I'll see if the area knows anything about it, okay?
That's fine. Thank you very much.
Bye.
So, you know, he says that's fine, but he's terrified, right? He's terrified. He's asked, you know, we pay their taxes. Well, we pay our taxes to pay their wages, these police people. We want them round to sort out this UFO. There's a big, bright light hovering in the sky coming at him.
Coming towards him.
And he's got no idea.
He sounds quite calm.
And he's been through it all, hasn't he?
Yeah.
You know, he's told the police that. He said it's not, you know, it's not the flight path.
No.
And, you know, at that time of night, it sounds quite late at night, you know, it's not going to be airplanes, is it?
No.
It's just hanging there. No engine noise, nothing. And so he puts the phone down. You know, he waits. The police haven't turned up. Yeah, maybe 2 minutes have passed, and he realises he may have made a mistake. Yeah? He may have gone a bit too quick. He realises that he may know what this giant hovering light might be.
What's your emergency?
I just called you about 2 minutes ago.
Okay, so why are you calling back again then?
I'll tell you why, because I'm listening to a late mistake.
Right, okay.
I thought I saw something that was really strange, and it wasn't, actually.
Right, do you know what? Because I just spoke to you myself. Do you know what it was then, or...?
Well, you won't believe this. You won't believe it. It's a moon. You won't believe it. It's a moon.
The moon. It was the moon.
The moon.
A giant hovering light in the sky.
Yeah.
Making no noise. Can be quite sinister, can't it? The moon. That's fantastic.
XFM.
It's Michael Stipe and Mike Mills from REM. Hello, how are you?
Good. How's
great,
it going?
Thank you.
Thank you so much for talking to us today.
You're welcome.
Now, you're about to become men of leisure in many ways. You know? How are you going
to... As opposed to what we've been doing, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, after 30 years, it's kind of well-deserved. How are you going to spend your time?
I don't know. I haven't figured it out yet.
Nothing at all.
Honestly, the second we made the announcement that we had disbanded as REM, I thought to myself, I deserve a break after 32 years of doing this, and I'm not going to force myself into some kind of workaholic, unnecessary mode. So I've just been taking it really easy and not kind of having to think too much about what I'm going to do next year.
Or I see. Doing what? How do you take it easy?
I was just on vacation with my family. In fact, I took my mother and father to Venice and with my boyfriend and my sister and my nephew, and we had a great time.
That sounds very nice. Yeah. How about, yeah, you know, TV, I imagine. Xbox Live.
No, I've actually been doing one of my favorite things, which is traveling. I do a lot of charity events, and so I've been, you know, free to do those and just going to places and visiting friends, things I like to do.
Catching up with friends is something you must have to do.
Catching up with friends, you know, after 30 years of being in a band and traveling, I have friends everywhere. So no matter where I go, there's something fun to do and someone to go to dinner with.
How did you kind of break the news to your loved ones about the big decision?
It wasn't easy.
Telegram.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think, you know, once we decided that's what we were going to do, we waited until, you know, close to the last minute to tell most everyone. We just made some phone calls to those that weren't in close proximity and told them what was about to happen.
Right, and had they been expecting it, do you think? Because it's a big, it's a big thing to hear.
No, I don't think anyone really expected it. I think it was a big surprise for a lot of people.
Was it a surprise for you?
No. No, we've been talking about it for a couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, it hadn't been an absolute final decision for a while, but yeah, we were pretty sure it was coming for a good long time. At the same time, that was strictly between the three of us and no one else, so we didn't, you know, we didn't let that out.
And putting this record together, the new one that's out on the 14th of November, that must have been a strange mix of emotions, kind of sad, but also joyful and kind of fun as well.
It is. It's a bittersweet time, but because we all feel so positively about this decision, happiness, I think, is the overall, you know, we're looking back and putting this record together and smiling about it. And we have three new songs on it that we're really happy about that we feel are a nice capstone on our career at this point. And you know, there's no weeping in the night about this. It's something we're all pretty much glad we've done and glad to move on from.
I was looking through the various titles of your discography as well, and I just thought very quickly we'd run through just a few questions that spring out to me. So, in 1987, the studio album Documents came out. What was the last document you signed? That's how this is going to work.
Okay, all right.
A health insurance form.
Rock and roll, excellent work.
Yeah, not exactly, but...
Things have changed.
I had to sign it. I came here from Italy, so I had to sign a thing saying that I was arriving into...
That you were allowed in.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. Green, in 1988, how green are you? I pretty much... I
how green?
This. Yeah, how
in
green.
In what regard?
Not in terms of being new
how
to things.
How much do you want
to
know? That's what I'm asking.
I would say encapsulate it within a paragraph of your choosing.
I'm pretty green in the sense that my mother is a person who carries with her at the age of 75 great curiosity about the world around her, and there's a naivete to that I hope to achieve by the time I'm 75. I hope to hold on to that.
Hold
curiosity,
on to a little bit of that.
That curiosity about the world is, I think, what keeps you young. And so, in that regard, I would say I'm quite green.
Okay, in terms of that, in terms of environmentally,
my thought about that has always been: live your life, make yourself happy, but within the context of that, live as green as possible.
See, we're
having your tea out of a very nice paper cup.
which I will recycle when
now
I'm
I see the splits in the band. This is what's happening here. Automatic for the people. Can you drive stick shift?
Yes.
You can?
Oh, I insist on it.
Excellent work. I got more there, but really what I want to ask is two questions in particular. When will you be reforming?
Don't hold your breath.
Okay. And solo projects, give me names. What's happening here?
I've actually spoken to several people with whom I'd like to write songs, but I don't want to jinx it by naming names.
All right, fair
enough. But they're all fantastic artists.
Can you describe them physically?
Tall and handsome.
All right, that could be quite a few people, to be honest.
Exactly.
Michael?
I have no plans.
No plans? I don't know. Your body language is telling me something else. You're doing the wide open thing, you know, that people do when they've got plans, but they're trying to convince you they don't have plans.
What part of my body is telling you that?
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet.
Hi, I'm Bill Bailyn. You're listening to XFM Breakfast with Danny Wallace. He's not here right now. He's just nipped out to weigh his own ears.
XFM.
Glenn, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hello, Glenn. I think you might be the first Glenn I've ever spoken to. How many other Glens have you met in your life?
Quite a few, actually. Where I grew up, there was about four of us.
Oh, four Glens. And are you a single N Glen or a double N Glen?
Single N. There's only one way to spell it, and that's with one N.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. Do single N Glens hang out and mock double N Glens? No? Yeah. Okay. You don't want to say. That's fine. I respect your privacy on that matter. It's a shame that line was so bad with Glenn. I love the idea of Glenn hanging out with all the other Glens on a Glen somewhere, being angry at the double N Glens, keeping the single N Glens to themselves. They're very private people, aren't they, the single N Glens?
Yeah.
Suspiciously so.
Drinking Glenfiddich.
Oh, yeah, there you go. I'd imagine. Yeah. With their mates, Gary and Ross. You've got Glenn, Gary, Glenn, Ross. Just hanging out together, all the different Glens. Oh, thanks. A little round of applause from Phil there. Mildly patronising. Do you think, what's a collective term for Glens? Madeiros, I reckon.
Madeiros of Glens.
You see a little Madeiros of Glens just hanging out all together.
XFM.
Good morning, welcome to the XFM Breakfast Show. My name's Danny Wallace, and they're here, everybody. It's Alex and Matt from Artsy Monkeys. Hello, how are you?
Pretty good.
Pretty good?
90%.
Why only 90%, Matt?
Just so I always think there should be room for improvement.
I see, so you're setting yourself a brave challenge.
I allow 10 as a buffer.
I see, what will make it better?
I don't know if I'll ever get to 100, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah, I'll get to mid 90s.
Right. So you're hoping for you've got a window of 5% that you'd be happy with going to.
Yep.
All right, and Alex, how are you?
16.
What's the highest you ever get?
25.
What, so lower than you are already?
No, I'm 16 at the moment.
16? Yeah. Oh my lord, this is not a good day to be doing an interview.
It is, though.
All right, well, we'll see if we can get
it's
you
good up. For me.
You're happy? It's a good time for the Artsy Monkeys?
Absolutely.
Great time, Danny. Such a good time.
Specifically now, or...?
No, generally.
Yeah, generally, absolutely.
Yeah,
oh, that's, yeah. I'm being serious there. I'm funnier when I'm not joking.
This is a slightly odd interview, I'll be honest.
Is it?
Yeah.
It feels so natural to me.
Does it?
Yeah.
What is it about the interview that feels natural to you?
The lack of unnaturalness.
Yeah.
I'm very comfortable.
Okay.
Just don't worry, Danny.
I'll just take a deep breath and crack on through it. I watched the video for Suck and See, Matt. What an extraordinary thing that is.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
You look ridiculously cool in it.
Thank you. Just me, I went acting.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just natural.
It was just an observational documentary.
It wasn't a stretch.
Nothing odd.
Talk me through it. You know, at some points you're doing a little puzzle. There's a nice girl in it.
Yeah. I had to actually do that puzzle.
Seriously, you know. So you really stretched yourself for this?
Yeah, puzzle method acting, I did loads of puzzles.
Did you build up to that puzzle? Did you start with maybe a six-piece and
got my edges?
Yeah.
Six-piece, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I enjoy the moment where a couple of American bikers hold hands.
But on bikes, at least, they weren't just walking around.
No, absolutely.
Which is fine, there's not a problem with that.
No, absolutely. But motorised is something more touching.
It takes
more of an effort, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Hi, they call me Will Ferrell, and you're listening to the XFM Breakfast Show with Danny Wallace, who I know is a real sucker. I don't know how I got in here. Can you use that?
Yeah.
Okay.
XFM.
A great-grandma, right, she fancied a bottle of whiskey, as great-grandmas are wont to do.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So she popped down to her local one-stop shop, it's called, and she's 92, and she picked out the bottle of whiskey she wanted, and she went to the counter. And she was refused the bottle of whiskey because she had to prove she was over 18. And there's a picture of her here. I mean, she's a young 92.
Yeah.
But she would be an old 18.
Yeah.
The great-grandmother of three produced her her over 60s bus pass.
Aww.
That should prove it. An OAP card. Right? They don't give those to 18-year-olds.
No.
And even her pacemaker certificate. I don't know why she's carrying that round with her. This must be a regular occurrence for her. But she was not allowed to buy a bottle of whiskey because she had no passport or driving license.
Oh, come on.
Outrageous.
She said it showed a ridiculous lack of common sense. She asked the girl behind the counter to repeat herself three times. She couldn't believe what she was hearing. She says, I can understand shops being strict with youngsters, but surely there's a difference between a 92-year-old and someone of 18. And the quote is, I ended up storming out in indignation. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a 92-year-old storm out of a shop.
Yeah.
You do have to be quite patient.
Yeah.
She says, I've never been asked for ID before in my life, but then I did turn 18 in 1937.
We are XFM.
Let's get quizzical.
Quiz cow.
Okay, Owen. The quiz cow has been primed. Usual rules apply. Should know the rules by now.
Okay.
Use your skill and your judgment to proceed. Don't count your chickens. Stop the clock, never boils, and don't look, because you might get laps. Let's do this. So, Owen, as I've said, the quiz cow has been primed. The quiz cow is full to bursting. As always, your first pull is free. Choose an udder, 1 to 7.
six.
Six. Okay, let me write that down. Okay, let's give udder six a yank. Good squeeze, Owen. The pot is half full. You win a fact. Cows have cloven hooves. Choose another udder, please.
Number two,
your second udder. You've gone for two. Let's give it a yank. Good
squeeze, Owen.
Another fact, cows weigh around 1,400 pounds. Okay, let's quickly bring in another caller. Stephen West 1, you're up against Owen. Choose an udder.
6.
Okay, you're saying 6. Interesting. Let's give udder 6 another yank.
No.
Oh, no. All right, sorry, Steve. Remember, the cow says moo. No one wants a noo. You are out, and you are banned from any future quiz faces.
Okay. Danny, can I play my joker?
You can't play your joker. You can't play your joker at this time, I'm afraid, Owen. No, the rules are quite clear about this. You should know the rules by now. Steve's out. You are still in, Owen. Here's your fact. Some cows nurse their calves for up to 3 years. Choose an udder, please.
It's got to be udder number one. It's got to be.
Number one, going for the big one. Okay, here we go. Whoa, Owen, another good squeeze. The bucket is at 80%. Remember, you do not want overspill. You need 20% or less on your next squeeze. Let's quickly bring Steve back. Steve, you're now working with Owen. You're working with Owen. Choose an udder.
6.
Ooh. Let's try it. Ooh. Oh, Steve, I'm so sorry. You've not played this before, have you? The cow has said ooh. You've chosen the same udder twice. Owen also chose that udder to begin with. Control of the cow is now back with you, Owen. You have possession. What do you want to do? You can carry on squeezing its udders, or you can answer the special bonus question to fill the buckets and, of course, win the tickets. Do you want to do that? You can now play your joker.
It's too late now. I'm
going to
milk and answer.
It's going to milk and answer. All right. It's a risk. What udder are you going for?
I'm squeezing 5.
5. No one's done this before. Here we go. Hey, Owen. That's at 19%. You're at 99%. That's great. To complete the mission, you have to play your joker now. Are you willing to do that?
I'm playing the joker.
Here we go. He's playing the joker, everyone. Okay. Drop all effects. Complete the sentence, Owen. We are
XFM.
He's done it!
See, at last, someone familiar with the rules. You know, someone willing to take a risk.
Yeah.
Owen, congratulations. You have won Quiz Cow. How do you feel?
I'm absolutely beside myself. Everything I've worked towards in my life has come to this one moment. This is just fantastic. I'm so pleased.
Owen, everybody.
XFM.
Shall we have a look at what's been going on in the news there, Matt?
Yeah, please, yeah.
Various different things to tell you about. Now, you went out for a fancy lunch yesterday. Did any of these things happen, or did you do them? Because apparently this is what irks the Brits about lunch etiquette. Others not paying their fair share of the bill. Did you pay your fair share?
Yes.
Over-ordering when the bill is being split, so like ordering extra chips for yourself.
Yeah, I do hate that. Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
It's like, do you get into it, though? Do you get into going, well, you had a corn on the cob?
I generally just put my bit in and forget about it. Don't get bogged down in it. It can ruin a meal.
Not ordering food, but sharing other people's food? Oh, yes. Look at the disgust on Phil's face there. People who use a calculator to work out exactly what they owe.
Yeah.
Has that ever happened in real life? Does that happen in films?
No, I think that has happened to me at one point. Yeah, some really anal person that we had a group meal with, you know. Does happen. Yeah.
Does it?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Diners who refuse to contribute to the tip.
Oh, that's outrageous.
Is it outrageous?
Yeah.
You see, you've got fury in your eyes, but it's like you're holding back slightly.
Why?
It's like you've got a rant you want to go on. but you realize, like, something's happened to you to do with this.
No, not at all. No.
You're full of secrets today.
I am, I know.
The Ministry of Justice. How many gadgets would you say they've lost in the last sort of year and a half?
Ten.
I'm talking BlackBerries, laptops. 10.
The whole of the Ministry of Justice.
Mm.
They are quite, yeah, they do seem to leave things lying around.
They do, don't they?
Yeah, putting things in bins.
500.
500.
They've lost 500 things, each of which probably contains stuff that you don't really want everyone else knowing. BlackBerries, laptops, everything. So, you know, they're being made fun of by the likes of Ken Clark. There's a guy recently stuffing secrets into a bin in a park.
Yeah.
Not really going through the correct procedures. And it got me thinking about, well, you're very secretive this morning. You've got your secrets going on.
Mm.
It got me thinking about, you know, is there a secret, Matt, that you could reveal to us that no one else knows about you that you'd be happy revealing on the radio?
Okay.
Why don't you just disguise your voice now?
Okay. You're all looking at me. It's pretty obvious it's me.
Yeah, that's all right.
I can give you an anyway. Echo.
Yeah, oh, do yeah. that. Okay.
You know, yesterday, when we were talking about earlier, I didn't turn up at the screening with you guys because I said I had a bit too much to drink.
Yeah.
I also said I'd had a little accident.
Yeah, what was that?
Well, I didn't have an accident. I just thought it added to my story.
Good morning, it's the XFM Breakfast Show. My name's Danny Wallace. And Matt Dyson, describe the man directly to your left.
He's big. I've seen him on The Inbetweeners before. That's where people may know him from, but he's now a top stand-up in his own right.
Always has been, always will be. Greg Davies, everybody. Hello, Greg. How are you?
Hello. I'm fine, thank you very much.
Good. Not just The Inbetweeners, We Are Clang as well.
Lesser known.
Lesser known than The Inbetweeners.
Tends to be The Inbetweeners, you know, and they've probably provided me with 85% of my audience. So.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's very kind of them.
That's good. Yeah. So people go there, and see the man from The Inbetweeners.
Yes, and they're disappointed. because I wish I was as powerful as that man, but I'm not.
But you're powerful in other ways.
I'm powerful in other ways, but they're...
You have the command of laughter.
I try, Danny, I try to. Yeah.
This has gone quite sort of Radio 4 psychotherapy show.
Do you know what? Whenever you do an interview, one of the questions I get asked probably 90% of the time is how similar to Mr. Gilbert I am in real life.
Right.
I just think it's one of the most preposterous questions ever asked. He's an absolute psychopath. Surely you can see that. If you've watched one scene of that man, he's deranged and he's a caricature.
You are getting quite angry.
I am getting pretty angry. Maybe I am more like him.
I think there's something going on there. Now he's stripping off for some reason. I understand what's going on here.
It's always at the 3-minute mark I like to take my top off. I thought your people would have told you that.
No, they didn't. They keep these things very quiet. Firing cheese balls at a dog. That was the name of the stand-up show that you've been doing. It was like extended 3 times, a huge success from Edinburgh onwards and all around the country, and now the DVD is coming out.
Yeah, it's good, eh?
It's great.
Yeah, I'm delighted. I'm meant to do 42 dates. That was the original tour. And then I said to my agent, that seems to have gone all right. Perhaps we should put a few more dates in. Mm. Now, what would you say a few more dates was?
Anything between, how many did you do, 42?
Yeah.
Between maybe 42 and 108.
Yeah, let's stick 80 in, shall we?
Right, okay,
let's
wow.
Stick 80. Yeah,
so you did 109.
I've done 120 something, not including Edinburgh, I think. Something ridiculous by the end of it.
You must be doing villages by now.
Yeah.
I mean, how many places are there?
There's not always people at these gigs.
Doing sports centres?
I have done a sports centre.
Have you?
I've done one sports centre.
Where was the sports centre?
It was in Doncaster.
That's
I'm
a great
thinking.
Sports centre.
It's a really nice sports centre.
Yeah.
And the nets were still up. That's what I like.
Is that
they
right?
Didn't even put the nets away.
Matt, have you been to Doncaster?
I have, yeah. I've been to the Doncaster Dome.
Which
is probably where you're talking about, yeah.
It was in the Doncaster Dome.
It's got ice skating, flumes, all under one
comedy. Hey, Danny, it's got the lot, mate.
Sometimes I'm out, I don't know whether I want to watch a volleyball match or listen to some stand-up.
Yeah.
So it's the Doncaster Dome.
You can do both easily.
Exactly. And it's called Firing Cheese Balls at a Dog. I'm going to ask you whether you condone such behaviour.
Well, only insofar as I've done it and the dog was unaffected by it and it enhanced my life greatly. So yes, under control conditions, I do.
XFM.
Quiz Cow.
Hello, I'm confirmed listener Owen, and I've just won Quiz Bee. If you had told me when I woke up from my gentle slumber this morning that by 7:48 I would be milking a fictional cow live on the radio, I would have asked you what you were doing in my house, and also that your statement sounded fairly unlikely, and then we would have made love, because Quiz Face can do that to a man. Thank you, Quiz Face. Thank you, Danny Wallace.
XFM. Tell us something we don't know.
Just extraordinary. I had no idea.
Dark secrets here.
There's all sorts of stuff going on, Phil. Phil, you just walked into a whole world of pain and trouble.
Yeah, of course.
My lord. Anonymous says, I am in love with my fiancé's sister. Goodness me. This is turning into like one of those 1980s Radio 1 confession shows. I got my best friend's girlfriend to dump him because I hated her. Oh. Then he kicked a bin and headbutted a lamppost. He broke his toes and gave himself concussion because he was so upset. He still doesn't know it was my fault. It was 2 years ago, says Anonymous. Someone here is a big fan of My Little Pony.
Yeah.
Someone else is a big fan of The Archers. Someone else is not a natural brunette. Someone else often lies about having no signal or a dead battery when dodging texts. Oh. Even if they're a good friend.
We've all done that.
Outrageous.
Well, that's good to know. Shall we do the top five things that we did not know and probably shouldn't know about some anonymous listeners?
At number five.
Well, it's confirmed listener anonymous.
My nipple was once frozen off by someone spraying antiperspirant on it.
One of his nipples was once frozen off. No one knows this about him, not really. By a friend. It's hard to hear, but as it turns out, we have a witness to that in the studio, because it turns out that's a mate of Dave's. And what's your secret, Dave?
I once froze someone's nipple off with antiperspirant.
So now you both come clean. This nippleless wonder, a friend of yours. It's lovely that you've remained friends with him.
Very good friends.
Why did you? What possessed you to freeze his nipple off?
I can't remember.
Did you know it would freeze his nipple off?
No, we didn't realise it.
So why were you just spraying his nipple with
I can't. We were very young, and I think we were just someone had told us that it can freeze parts of your skin if you spray it for too long. But we're only about 10 or 11, and then he woke up the next morning and the nipple was on the pillow next to him.
What?
I don't know if it ever grew back.
Do they grow back?
I don't know.
You froze a child's nipple off. You froze a child's nipple off.
Well, it sounds worse.
Why?
Now.
Why would you freeze a child's nipple off?
I was a child as well.
Yeah, but now you're a grown man.
I wouldn't do it now.
I should hope not. Man!
Why wasn't this one of your facts?
Yeah!
Number four.
No! Not at number four!
Oh, come on!
Why? You froze a child's nipple off. It fell off in the night. And why was it on the pillow? How high up was this nipple? Was this like a
chin? Yeah, it was for the nipple fairy.
I can't remember. It was a long time ago. He remembers it a lot. He or she remembers it a lot more clearly than I
do. What kind of antiperspirant is this?
I can't remember, Matt!
And how's he gone through life, this friend of yours? Every time he looks at you, he thinks, you stole one of my nipples.
Yeah, he's got to buy all right. He's fine. He's all right. I think it grew back. I'm 60% sure it grew back.
60% sure. I love that you've done the maths on this. What's at number four?
I've already pressed the button, so I can't get it now.
Matt, what's at number four?
Ah, number four. It's another anonymous one.
You froze a child's nipple off. And it ended up on a pillow.
It fell off.
Yeah.
Anyway. Was it just the skin? Was it like an outer layer of skin?
Yeah, just the outer layer.
Like a snake.
Let's stop talking about children's nipples.
Sorry.
What's
this one. It's another one from Mr. X from Fake Town.
By the way, I've never said the phrase, let's stop talking about children's nipples before. Go on. Anonymous.
This one. This is a good one. My boss keeps going on about his wife having an affair. Little does he know, it's with me.
Oh.
15 years her junior. Oh. Get in.
Oh, that's a big secret.
Wow.
What's at number three?
At number three.
Well, let's confirm, listener. Anonymous.
My entire family thinks I passed my degree, but I didn't. I came back and I held a massive party in my honour.
His whole family thinks that he's passed his degree. They threw a party for him. How'd you get away with that? What's at number two?
At number two.
It's confirmed listener Anonymous, who says, I once faked constipation pains to avoid double science. I ended up in hospital because they suspected I had appendicitis, and I was having internal examinations. Oh, no. It's very difficult to come clean once you've started something. I think once someone else is inside you... I think that's the moment. I think that's probably the moment to go, do you know what? I think I feel better now.
Yeah, surely school's not that bad. Come on.
But what is our favourite thing this morning? Let's have the number one thing.
And the number one thing you told us that we didn't know in today's Tell Us Something That We Don't Know is...
Courtesy of confirmed listener Anonymous.
Okay, when I was a trainee teacher, rather than teach a year 12 lesson, I decided to set off the fire alarm before going in. So we spent most of the time outside rather than in the lesson. Oh.
She didn't want to teach. She didn't want to teach. She set off the fire alarm.
XFM.
Robin, are you there?
Hello there, viewers. How are you enjoying the television programme?
Robin, where are you exactly? You're not here.
No, I'm not there. It's not that I've been snubbed, although I've been snubbed before when you had someone on. I was invited in. I remember that. Mike Baldwin from Coronation Street. But no, I'm in the British Library today doing some special research.
Oh, great. What are you researching?
General information.
Just general information.
There's three topics that are questions that I'm trying to find the answers to.
Yes.
One, why do some acorns fall off the tree in my garden, but others just wait till the next day?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, okay.
The other one is, why are lemons yellow? No one knows.
Oh, right, okay.
And finally, is, does David Cameron really strangle wolves?
Oh!
And it's, of course, something that's been in the paper. He'd been accused of strangling, you know, wolves in their thousands on his holiday to Canada. And they know him, David Cameron, as a wolf strangler. And people, please feel free to spread the word, because we've got to find out if it's true. Has David Cameron really been behind that spate of wolf stranglings at the moment? Is our Prime Minister a wolf strangler? We need to know. Please help us find out. Why is he strangling all those wolves? How can he be? How can we have a man in power who strangles wolves? We voted for a man who goes out and kills mammals with his bare hands and mouth.
Where did you hear about this Canadian wolf?
The papers today. If it's not in today, it'll be in there tomorrow. the spate of wolves.
Okay, fair enough. So you've been looking that up, but you were looking that up in the British Library, the yellow lemon quandary we haven't answered.
You're right.
And the acorn. How far have you got with the research on the acorns?
No, I haven't got far, actually, because I might cross that one out, because I've just realised that I don't actually have a tree in the garden with acorns on, so that was more of a sort of a dream I think I might have had, or if I haven't had it, someone must have had that dream before.
Imagine someone's had it at some point.
Yes.
So with the Canadian wolf thing, you know...
Well, it's in all the papers today that our Prime Minister is basically a mammal murderer. He's been killing wolves with his bare hands. Also, there's news that he apparently has very strong thighs, and he grips the wolves, he goes up behind them, because he's a wolf whisperer, you see.
Oh.
He learned that in the wild. He actually learned that off Lord Carrington, who was a former foreign minister.
Oh, yes.
And he taught him to leap up, whisper sweet nothings into their beautiful ears, pounce upon them and grip them betwixt his very powerful thighs that led to all those children that he's made,
yes,
with his wife, and yeah, grips them, and when they're all lulled into a sort of nice thighness, he just strangles them with his bare hands. And then he just goes 1009, and then he moves on to the next.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet.
Breaking news just coming in on Nipplegate, just coming through to us now. This after the sad news that producer Dave froze off a child's nipples with antiperspirant.
Mm.
The young boy in question is now a man, Santiago Street Machine frontman Andy. He's on the line now with an update on the state of his adult chest.
I can now confirm that my nipple has grown back by about 95%. Mm. Although my youth was blighted the morning I found out I had a nipple on my pillow.
Yeah, that would do it.
Good to have an update on that. Closure.
We are XFM.
This is unusual. Some people in America, they had a few kids. Chose some quite unusual names for kids, because, you're going to have kids soon.
Yeah.
Well, a kid.
Yeah.
And you've chosen the name already.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's a great name.
Yeah, Bessie.
Yeah.
Bess.
Perfect name. Sensible name.
Yeah.
And she'll grow up with that, and she'll love it. And
provided she looks like a Bess, yeah. But yeah, probably that's the working title.
The working title. These guys, Heath and Deborah Campbell, they named their kids Adolf Hitler, Jocelyn Aryan Nation, and Hanslin Hindler. And Hindler is, I think they were going for Himmler, but I think they thought Hindler sounded prettier. And it got me thinking about strange names, you know, strange names of people you've met, you know, in your travels. You were telling me that you've never, you went at your school. There was
at my
no
school, because everyone I meet knows someone who had a ridiculous name at school.
But not you.
Not my school.
You know what that means?
They were just so normal.
That means it was you.
Oh, possibly.
Maybe Man Dyson isn't the ordinary name you thought it was.
Yeah, it sounds like a vacuum cleaner, doesn't it? Yeah.
That's not bad. Yeah, thanks. Remind me of that, and I'll say it sometime on air. Did you? So, anyone else? Did you have any strange names at school, or
school or beyond?
Yeah, yeah. At primary school, I went to school with someone called Brewster.
Okay.
And that was their actual name.
I mean,
that
was their actual name. No Adolf Hitler.
No, but Brewster.
Yeah, absolutely. It is an odd one.
Brewster is quite rare. Yeah,
it is a rare name. Anyone? I mean, that's not. I'm looking for stranger than standard names.
not Deadpole ones, but weird ones.
Yeah, weird ones. I remember Vernon Bodfish.
Oh, nice. That's
a good name. Yeah. Anything from you, Phil, from your days?
Chibuizi Levi Emmanuel Onyekubakiri.
Oh, wow, that's a good name.
Called him Chib.
Yeah. When I had a paper round in Bath, there was a house I used to have to deliver with, and on the subject of people called Hitler, because you know after. Before the war and after it, there must have been tons and tons of people called Hitler. So they all have to change their names because of the connotations. So, yeah, they changed it to sort of Halters and Hotlers and whatever else. And there was one family, and this is what must have happened. They must have thought, oh, we've got to change our name. And so they changed their name. And I suppose one offshoot of the family came and lived in Bath. And the problem was they changed it to the only name in the world worse than Hitler.
Are there any worse?
The devil?
Well, they tweaked it slightly.
The Alcibob.
They tweaked it slightly, which is why I delivered papers to a man whose name was Mr. Shitler. Now, Dave's that's looking nervous. Name. That's an it's an actual
it's
name.
A name.
It's a name. That was
yeah,
the name.
It's a name.
And they so they. No, it was the name. It was the name. And
they changed it to.
So what they did was they added a letter or two to not only bring about ideas of evil national socialism from the German 1940s, but also the other aspect, which I'm not going to go into. We should really count our blessings, shouldn't we? What's the good news? Well, I'll start. This is late-breaking good news.
Hit us with it, Dan.
I'm going to. And, you know, this is just a little thing, but good news, guys. I feel closer to producer Dave than ever now that I know he once froze a child's nipple off. Knowing that this happened has made me see the adventurous side to Dave, you know? The dangerous side of Dave. The Dave that takes a risk, you know? The Dave that asks no questions. The Dave that... for some reason kept it a secret all this time. Not only that he had done this.
I didn't.
To a minor.
A minor?
He was a minor.
So was I.
Excuses. But also the image of his friend waking up with that nipple on his pillow. And now I put that to bed. You know, that whole thing. We can put it behind us now. We've discussed it.
Okay.
But my goodness me, that will definitely be on the podcast this week.
Yeah.
And
that is good news.
That is good news. Matt, what's your good news?
Good news, guys. I am in the doghouse after having a few too many alcoholic beverages in Shoreditch yesterday. My
sherry,
heavily pregnant...
sherry.
I had sherry and brandy and wine. My heavily pregnant fiancé hates my gutty wuts. And I let down my colleagues by failing to turn up for a screening. But on the plus side, we've just been sent some eggnog lattes.
Hey!
Feel warm and festive.
Oh, good. So letting down your colleagues, all the guilt just disappears.
Yeah,
the fact you've let
great.
Down your pregnant fiancé disappears because someone sent you a free coffee. That's all it takes, is it?
Yeah.
What a heartwarming Christmas story. Phil, what's your good news?
Good news, guys. After cutting my finger whilst escaping from a locked toilet cubicle in a Spanish TV station
all these
on
stories.
Monday,
yeah.
I've
continues.
Not been able to use the weights at my gym this week. Therefore, yesterday, instead of my usual punishing chest and tricep workout, I decided to merely relax in the steam room. In there, to my surprise, I was accosted by a middle-aged Bolivian man named Julio, who touched my shoulder and informed me he gives the best massages around. The good news being, I'm clearly irresistible to middle-aged Bolivian men called Julio.
That's good news. That's good. Everyone needs a talent, you know.
Yeah.
You might need a sugar daddy one day, Phil.
Yeah.
You can't rely on your sports knowledge forever. Dave, what's your good news?
Bad news, guys.
Oh,
in my euphoria of watching my beloved Manchester City win in the European Champions League last night, I forgot to set my alarm this morning at 4 a.m. like I usually would. The good news being, I woke up automatically at 3:58 a.m.
Oh, wow. That is good news. Man City news always good. Man City also the name of your gym. XFL. Tony T-Bone Bowen. Here he is. Tony is making his way through the top 1,000 songs of all time, according to the XFM book of the same name, and putting your own spin on them, and you're probably a fifth of the way through, a few hundred in, something like that.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, please be in awe of the wonderful Tony Bowen.
I need a sunshine, I need angels, I need something good, yes, I need blue skies, and I need old times, I need something good, something good. And they feel so, so wasted on myself. Promises. And they still feel oh, so wasted on myself. Promises. And they still feel oh, so wasted on myself. Promises. And they still feel oh, so wasted on myself. You need me, man, I don't need you. 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 Man, I don't need you. You need me, man. I don't need you. You need me, man. I don't need you. You need me, man. Oh my God, I can't believe it. I've never been this far away from home. Oh my God, I can't believe it. I've never been this far away from home. Oh my God, I can't believe it. I've never been this far away from home. Oh my God, I can't believe it. I've never been this far away from home. I am a man with a heavy heart. And I doubt I'll turn the page. Fighting with automatic self-destruction. It's a blind faith, a cruel waste, and bitter taste. Cause I know I need this sweet sensation. Sensation. Music that we play.
What are the lessons you've learned? You go. Fly, Matt, fly.
Let me just clear something up first. It may have sounded like a flight of fancy or some kind of on-air skit, but Danny actually has drawn a picture of Owen McDermott, complete with doll's shoes and pinecone hands.
Yeah.
It's actually very good as well, and he's sending it to Neil Buchanan's Art Attack after the show.
Yeah, I will be doing. Today's show saw a heightened sense of concern for our own Matt Dyson, who off-air today seems to be confusing his life with the life of the fictional Nathan Drake, the main protagonist in Uncharted 3. Matt's unhealthy, newfound obsession with this game is such that he now seems to believe he actually has a mentor called Victor Sullivan. He travels the world with in search of a legendary lost city. It's only blind luck that his news reports this morning have not included tales of him crouching behind walls to combat nefarious enemies, all in the hope of collecting Sir Francis Drake's ring, or informing us about slight delays on the A12 because of some evil henchmen after his amulet. Don't worry, Matt. The show is nearly over. You can get back to it.
I'm not Nathan Drake. Well, what you're saying? Drake's deception.
You were up very late, is all I'm saying. Okay. And a professional man would have gone to bed early, not played little games.
Yeah, the latest audience mood monitoring stats are in. They show a 33.3% rise in satisfaction levels as the slightly new, no longer all new, XFM Breakfast Show enters its fourth month.
Yes.
72 encouraging text messages sent to the multimedia console this morning alone.
Yeah, just encouraging one. Thank you very much indeed. And off air this morning, the song that got everyone singing in the studio today was Shake It Out, with at one point three grown men not accustomed to singing attempting to harmonise. This was foolhardy at best. Best critical reception in the studio. An even split this morning between We Are Augustine's Booker James and The Vaccine's brilliant wetsuit. And a spontaneous cheer this morning blew up in the studio for the Guns N' Roses classic Welcome to the Jungle, a moment spoiled only by Matt's semi-improvised rap over the main guitar solo. I don't remember that in the game. We are XFM. Well, there you go. That was podcast number 15 from the XFM Breakfast Show. We hope you learnt as much as we did. Don't forget, we're back every morning from 6:30 on 104.9 FM on DAB or online, or just listen to this podcast. Bye-bye. Yes, we are XFM. Danny Warren.